All right, the Madam Chair has a little bit of growth issues today, so I'll take over for her right now. So we will begin our meeting. The time is now 9:16 a.m. Today is March the 8th. I will go ahead and call our meeting to order. The board's mission is to protect the health and welfare and safety of the public who seek to use the services of the nursing care institution administrators and assisted living facility managers. Pursuant to ARS 38431.02, notice is hereby given to the members of the State of Arizona Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers, otherwise known as the Board, and to the general public that the Board will hold their regular monthly board meeting, which is open to the public today, March 8th, 2020, to be held at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007, and the time again is 9:17 a.m. Persons with disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as sign language interpreter, by contacting Callan Emig at 602-364-2273 or through the Arizona Relay Services at 711. Please make your request as early as possible to allow time for to arrange the accommodation. The board's president reserves the right to change the order of the items listed on the agenda, except for the matters scheduled to be heard at a specific time. The agenda is subject to change up to 24 hours prior to the meeting. Board members may be present by telephone. During the course of the meeting, the board, upon a majority vote of the quorum of members, may hold an executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney on any matters listed on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38431.0383 and for purposes of discussion or consideration for confidential material pursuant to ARS 38431.0382. The executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. It is very important that every board member and every participant today remember that the resident's name is confidential and you must refer to the resident by their initials or the word resident. Items that are referenced as consent agenda may be considered in a single action unless the board member removes a specific item for review, discussion, and action separately from other consent agenda items. The board will review, discuss, and may take actions on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for March the 8th, 2021, regular board meeting is as follows. We've already called ourselves to order. If we can do a roll call, please.
President Campbell?
Present.
Vice President Villafranca?
Here.
Board Member Ken Kenner? Board Member Nina Lewis? Board Member Fred Randolph?
Board Member Lewis is here.
Okay, thank you. Member Lewis is here. Member Randolph, are you present?
Present.
Okay, Member Siemens, are you present?
Present.
Okay, Member Archer?
Here.
Member Ehrman?
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Executive Director. Next is calls to the public. Persons who want to address the board do need to complete a request permission in advance. They do not need to complete a request, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board. Forms of the board is aware that they're here and they want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons pursuant to ARS 38431.02H. The board can discuss or take actions only on matters that are listed on the agenda. Board actions on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to directing board staff to study the matter or to schedule the matter for a future discussion at a future board meeting. At this time, is there anyone here who is not listed on the agenda that wishes to speak to the board? Okay, the time is 9:20 a.m. Hearing none, we'll move forward. Approval of minutes. Board review consideration and action on approval of minutes for February the 8th, 2021 regular board meeting. A motion to approve.
Second.
Who wants it?
It was Susan.
Myself and Member Archer. We can do a roll call.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next up is formal administrative hearing, proposed consent agreements, and motion to deem allegations admitted. allow a few minutes for council to get set up.
Actually, Member Villafranca, we're just making sure that people are able to call in. Perhaps you should, you would consider going to agenda item six first.
Sure. So we will skip that and come right back. Item number six is complaint case. Again, just remember that the name of the resident is confidential in public session. Board member, staff, and the licensee shall refer to the resident as resident or use the resident initial. Item A, consent agreement, agenda to not open a complaint investigation on a facility manager related to an APHS enforcement action.
So moved.
Are there any that any board member saw that would like to review? Okay, hearing none, I'll make a motion to not open.
Second.
Okay, myself and Member Ehrman, we can get a roll call, please.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. That will put us next into complaint cases. And we will come back to the other agenda item. We will start with the item number 14, complaint number 20-07 involving Administrator Naomi McNoven. You'll step forward, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
Have a seat. Make sure your mic is turned on. Just press that little button that says push. One good time, it should turn green. Okay, Phil, if you could outline the case for us, please.
Sure. This is complaint 21-07. Licensee is Naomi McMillan, who's present here today. And from August 31st, 2020 through September 4th, 2020, DHS conducted five nursing care institution complaint investigations at Maryville Care Center located in Phoenix. Complaint investigations identified 11 deficiencies in 9 different areas. Ms. McMillan was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a written response concerning the deficiencies. And on approximately December 11th, 2020, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 2 substantiated violations. And Ms. McMillan is here today to discuss the matter.
Thank you so much. Ms. McMillan, the two items that I have that brought you here, the administrative health, insurance policies and procedures for behavioral health services that were implemented for 8 residents to prevent resident-on-resident altercation. And then the other was failed to take immediate action to stop abuse of one resident by 4 staff members. I believe we all saw the news reports, read your summarization of exactly what happened. One of my biggest questions for you would be, you've been an administrator since 2015, am I correct?
Yes.
So the biggest one that I just had a question about was not notifying all of the proper authorities once you became aware. Can you explain to the board why you didn't notify the police or Adult Protective?
Actually, we did notify the police, we did notify APS, we did notify the ombudsman. The agency we did not notify was the state, and I had somewhat of an in-depth discussion with my boss, who was the corporate regional director at the time. He said, I went back and forth, and he said, you know, Naomi, I think because you've already reported it as a state report, well, because the nursing staff told us it was arrest, he said, I believe that's all going to come out when you give them your final investigation. So that's where we went wrong. And I will add that he's not in the state. Our headquarters for our company comes out of Texas. But he said in the past that he's ever done that. He felt that it was sufficient that we could notify them initially, and then the other results would come out in the investigation, or he would submit within 5 days.
So kind of how we talk with others that sit in those chairs, what does the statute say when it comes to abuse and reporting for administrators?
You must report within 2 hours and follow up with your investigation within 5 days.
And did you meet that statute?
No.
Those are the only questions that I had. And I understand that those individuals either are not employed by you any longer or you had suspended them once you became aware, because I understand it happened on evening or night shift, you guys weren't there, but once you came in, you took immediate action.
Once we saw the video and realized that they had reported it incorrectly, absolutely. We called them all in to make a statement. We didn't let them stay in the building. We suspended them, and that's just part of our corporate process, and then they were terminated.
Okay. So you said once you were able to see the video, so did you know about this incident that night?
We knew it as a resident-to-resident altercation, because that's what it was reported as, and the nurse reported it as something completely different than how it really transpired.
Okay. And so once you were apprised, did you start the process?
Yes, absolutely. That was reported. That was reported immediately. So it was, we didn't do the follow-up the next day.
Okay. And I'm sure that you have systems in place at this juncture that follow-up moving
absolutely.
Forward, because you do behavioral health, I'm assuming.
Yes.
That will be followed.
We're undergoing an extensive upgrade to our video system, so we'll have it on our phones, so we would be able to follow up and review it almost immediately.
Okay. Any other questions from the other board members? Any other questions from the other board members? So the board is still in this case. Member Ehrman?
I'm good with.
You're good?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Good? Okay. All right. And I will make the motion. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation, dismiss complaint number 2107 against Administrator Naomi McMillan.
Second.
Roll call.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Villafranca?
Aye.
Board Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
And Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, thank you for being here today. Motion carries. Are we good at going back or no?
I mean, I emailed him. I don't know if he...
Yes, we can. I believe the independent legal advisor is on the line, Mary Williams. Are you present?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, perfect. So we'll go back.
All right.
We'll go back to item 5A. Give the council a few moments to get set up. And for the record, the time is 9:30 a.m. What council do we have for the board, please?
You have Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan.
Okay, thank you.
And then the board's legal advisor would be Mary Williams.
Are they not here? Okay.
Mary Williams is appearing telephonically. Seamus Monahan, who is the prosecutor in this case, is here in person.
Just used to them over on this side. That's why I'm going to see somebody missing. Okay.
It's nothing against Phil.
All right, nothing against Phil, okay. Well, today is March the 8th, 2020. The time is 9:30 a.m. This is the date, place, and time of the matter dealing with Petri A. Stepanoscu, case number 20-35, scheduled to be heard by the Arizona Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers. Subject of the hearing is set forth in the complaint notice of hearing. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there have been violations of the board's statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. Board members present are as follows. Roll call.
President Campbell.
Present.
Vice President Villafranca.
Here.
Member Lewis.
Here.
Member Randall.
Here.
Member Siemens.
Here.
Member Archer?
Here.
Member Ehrman?
Present.
Thank you. The board has quorum. Let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint notice of hearing, respondents' answers if one was filed, and all pleadings of record. If all parties can introduce themselves for the record, we'll begin with the state.
Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state today.
Thank you. Is the respondent present, either in person or on the telephone line? Petrie Stefanoscu, are you present in person or on the telephone line? The time is 9:32 a.m. Let the record reflect the respondent is not present. Is the state ready to proceed?
Yes, sir.
Okay. A hearing of this nature differs from court proceedings. Technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight given to the evidence received. Disciplinary proceeding, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present its case, then the respondent shall present their case. The burden of proof in an administrative hearing is a preponderance of the evidence, which means sufficient evidence to establish that a fact is more true than not. After it hears all the evidence and arguments of parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or to take appropriate disciplinary action. At this time, all members that are going to be testifying, if you would please raise your right hand.
Mr. Chair, this is Mary Williams. Can I interrupt before you proceed any further?
Oh, absolutely. Please do.
Sorry. I believe there is a consent agreement pending in this matter. You may want to ask Mr. Monahan before you go too far into swearing in witnesses.
Thank you. Is there a consent agreement?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, there is preliminary matters. For this case, there's a consent agreement. It's pretty straightforward. It is the consent agreement that this board offered after its July 13th, 2020 board meeting after discussing the deficiencies, the two deficiencies that were found in the enforcement report, action taken against the respondent. This is a voluntary surrender of his license, and it was signed on February 18th, 2021.
Perfect.
If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Yeah, I just didn't have that sent in for me to review, so
absolutely
we didn't get that portion of it. We didn't know. So there is a consent agreement to self-surrender?
Yes, sir.
And the respondent signed it and agrees to self-surrender?
Yes, he has.
Perfect. Then I'll make the motion that we accept the self-surrender.
Second.
Who wants it? Myself and Member Archer. Roll call, please.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Villafranco?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
And Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. That concludes that, and we will go back to item B.
Thank you very much.
And I believe there are not any other matters you need independent advice on, so I am going to get off the line. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, next up is complaint case number 20-118, Lorelei Acaba? Acaba?
Acaba.
Acaba? Phil, if you could outline this case for us, please.
Okay, this is complaint 20-118. Licensee is Lorelei Acaba, who's present here today. And on August 19th, 2020, DHS conducted an assisted living compliance inspection at One Abbey Adult Care Home located in Tucson. The compliance inspection identified 8 deficiencies in 8 different areas. On that day, DHS also conducted 2 complaint investigations at the facility. The complaint investigations identified 1 deficiency in the area of administration. Ms. Okaba was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a response concerning the complaint investigation, since the complaint investigation was a survey that resulted in the enforcement action. Now, on approximately November 2nd, 2020, DHS took enforcement action and impose a civil money penalty of $1,500 for one substantiated violation concerning the two complaint investigations. There was no enforcement action taken concerning the compliance inspection, therefore no written response was required.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Okada's here today to discuss the matter.
Appreciate it. So Ms. Okada, there was a lot of deficiencies here. Can you tell me, or tell the board please, how large of a facility is this?
It's there are 10 residents.
How many?
10
residents. Were you there at the time of the survey?
No.
And is there a reason why you weren't present for the survey?
Oh, I only worked there as a part-time, and the owner, she's the one who's taking care pretty much everything. I give him a dedication for that. And then, but she allows me to only work there once a month, like up to four hours every once a month.
Okay.
And then I was hired last November 19, uh-huh. But I was started working on December 2019.
But your offer letter was November the 19th?
No, I haven't worked on that. They hired me on November 19th, mm-hmm. But they let me start it on December 2019.
Okay. Can you tell me who's responsible for the health, safety, and welfare of the residents? There were 10. Can you tell me who's responsible for their health, safety, and welfare?
I'm the one responsible for that, and also whoever worked on the assisted living facility.
But you only go to the facility once a month for 4 hours?
For 4 hours. It's just like a part-time.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
Yes, Ms. O'Connor, do you have a full-time job elsewhere?
No, I used to, but I don't know.
Any other questions from the board?
I have a question. Is the owner the other caregiver? Are they a licensed caregiver?
She's a licensed caregiver, but her fingerprint is on pending because she has some issues. But now they give her she got her new fingerprint last January.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Are you still the manager there?
Yes.
So when you say that the owner only allows you to work 4 to 6 hours once a month?
It's like 4 hours once a month. That's what she wants me. I go there every once a month, mm-hmm. And I will check everything in those papers. But when I saw this, she put somebody to work and herself too, I informed her that she couldn't do that.
And for the record, the name of the owner, please.
Is her name or the...
The name of the owner.
Angelique Roy.
Angelique Roy.
Roy, R-O-Y.
Thank you. Okay. So I have issue. My issue is that you have 10 residents.
At the time it's only 7.
That's fine. You have 10 residents, 7 right now, but 10 as of today. With a part-time manager overseeing, she's been a manager since 2010. I'm in light of going back, doing a 40 hours so that you can better understand exactly what your responsibilities are.
And I would agree with that. I think the ability to get managers certificate prior to 2013 and the change in rules, that we've seen some difficulty there with understanding all the new rules.
I'm not sure 4 hours a month is enough.
I don't.
At all, in any facility.
I absolutely
To make
agree.
Sure that the safety of those residents and the care of those residents is what it's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
I'm very concerned.
I would like to clarify.
Are you going to suggest the whole class?
Yes.
Okay. I agree with that.
Can I ask a question? Just for understanding. When you say that the owner allows you 4 hours only a month. Is it your, is what you're saying that that's all she's willing to pay you for?
Yes, that's what she'll pay me once.
And outside of that, would it be your responsibility to go in there otherwise?
If they call me, I'm available.
How about if there's something that you needed to follow up on and make sure that hiring is going correctly? Can you go back into the building?
She did all of those.
She did all of those? Would she allow you to go back into the building?
Yes.
At any time?
Anytime. If she called me and let me know that I needed to be there.
Okay, what if she didn't call you and you just wanted to go there to follow up?
I haven't done those.
I haven't done those.
I always ask her to like, we just like texting or call her. Okay. If we're gonna meet, you know, next month or, and yeah, that's like what it does.
If you're gonna meet that month, okay. Thank you.
All right, I'm prepared to make a motion based upon the information contained in investigative report. Move the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07. B3, ARS 44610, AACR 433, 407, A and B1 for unprofessional conduct complaint number 20-118 involving manager Lorelei P. Acaba, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter before a formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, the state of the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $444, completion of a 40-hour manager training program with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion, and successfully passed the state exam for managers administered by this board. Any costs of the probation or those of the certificate holder?
Second.
Who wants it? Charles and Member Campbell. Roll call.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
The motion carries. Thank you for being here today. Next up on the agenda, item number 16, case number 21-06 involving manager Teresa Fernandez. Can you step forward, please? And Phil, if you could outline the case for us, please.
That's all I need to fall.
You can't do that too many places.
I know.
Okay, this is complaint 21-06. The licensee is Teresa Fernandez, who's present here today. And on September 30th, 2020, the DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Casa Teresita 2, located in Tucson. The compliance inspection identified 3 deficiencies in 3 different areas. 2 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Fernandez was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. And in her response, she did indicate that she attempted to file some IDRs concerning several of the deficiencies. However, on December 9th, 2020, DHS did take enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for 2 substantiated repeat violations. And Ms. Fernandez is here today to discuss the compliance inspection report.
Okay, thank you. Mrs. Fernandez, you've been a manager since 1995, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How long have you been the administrator manager for this facility?
Since I started the business.
Since 1995. Do you own this facility?
I own number 1, which is at 310 West Oklahoma, and then I moved my business over to 4540 West Camino de Cielo, Tucson, Arizona. And my sons built that home for us, for the residents.
So you're owner-manager at the
Correct.
Same time? Okay. And how many residents are there?
3.
3. And how much time do you spend in the home?
I live there.
You live there.
It's not 24/7, it's 48/14.
Gotcha. So can you explain to the board why the repeat deficiencies?
On the medications, I do have the electronically signed, although I just did not have them at that time when the inspector went over.
We can't hear her.
Yeah, her mic.
Oh, her mic is on.
Hold on, we're getting the mic turned back on. It's off.
Sorry. Yeah, maybe we can leave it on permanently.
Yeah, so I do have the list of all the electronically signed within the 14 days. So that was okay, and I assumed that it was okay because I did send them in to Seth and Tucson, and I overnighted them to Phoenix also to board. So I thought that was taken care of. And as far as the chemicals, the last time that Seth went out, the chemicals were right outside my living quarters. And there's a gate, which I was told, I should have brought that point up, that there was a gate dividing the care home, and the chemicals were outside my door. And ever since then, you know, I've gotten a cart, which I keep in the garage, so all my chemicals are now in the garage. So.
Is that a self-latching gate?
Pardon?
Is that a self-latching gate? Did it have a lock on it?
Yes.
At the time that the surveyor was there?
But I didn't point it out to him, so I was like, odd.
Were you present at the time of the survey?
I'm always there.
The medication, when the surveyor cited the medication list.
This is in regard to the chemicals, the toxins.
No. Going back to the medication list. You said that you always get the electronic signature sent.
The resident at the time was on hospice.
Okay.
And I had a huge book, so of course in half an hour I didn't get them. And then later on, because of the pandemic, because of everything, I didn't get them immediately. I did send them in, but I sent them in late, but they were electronically signed.
You sent them in late to DHS?
Yes.
After their two-hour?
Yes.
So how did you originally give the medication order?
According to my orders, you know, whatever was ordered, that's how I gave it to them.
How did you get the order?
Oh, from the doctor from hospice.
Okay, but it was unsigned?
It was what?
Unsigned?
No, it was electronically signed. E-signed.
Okay. But you didn't have it at the time of the survey?
I did have it, but I didn't have it readily available to hand it to him.
Okay. I understand. Thank
and you. That's why I have here the dates and everything for all the medication.
And so the citation was really because you didn't get it provided
in
to
time.
DHS within
in
the 2 hour
correct.
After survey.
Correct. That's why I was really surprised. I thought, I'm confused for this. I only sent this to him.
Any other questions from the other board member?
No, I think she got it under control.
Perfect.
I love my people, I love my work.
And I'll move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation. Dismiss complaint number 21-06 against manager Teresa Fernandez.
Second.
It's Charles and member Archer. Roll call.
President Campbell.
Aye.
Vice President Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Randall. Member Randolph?
Aye.
Okay, Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
And Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Great. Motion carries. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Make sure that this light away. Thank you.
All right.
Have a nice day. God bless you. Everyone be blessed.
Oops.
Okay, next up is complaint, item number 17, complaint number 21-05, involving Leanne Ray, manager. Ms. Ray, are you present? Okay, Phil, if you could outline the case for us. Did you know that she wouldn't be present if you had any?
I invite them.
Yeah, but they didn't call you and tell you. Okay, perfect.
Okay, this is complaint 21-05. The licensee is Leanne Ray, who was invited to today's meeting but is not in attendance. Now, September 24th, 2020, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Hacienda at the River, located in Tucson. Compliance inspection identified 11 deficiencies in 4 different areas. 4 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Ray was notice of the complaint, and she did provide a written response, and in her response, she informed me that her last day at the facility was September 23rd, 2020, which was the day just prior to this compliance inspection. And on approximately December 2nd, 2020, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for four substantiated repeat violations.
Okay. And she is not present here today. Mrs. Ray, are you on the telephone line? It's 9:51 a.m. I did see that, you know, she's saying that she's not going to renew her manager certificate in June of this year. She wants to retire. Requesting that her certificate not be revoked or any disciplinary actions taken on this matter. However, there are some substantial repeat deficiencies here. Based on that, I would be prepared to agree with your recommendation. You have any
for a voluntary surrender?
You want a voluntary surrender?
I can't read because I didn't bring my scripts.
So if you could turn on your mic, Member Ehrman, thank you. And just repeat what you said for the record.
I would be willing to accept a voluntary surrender.
Okay. Member Campbell?
I agree.
You agree? Okay. Any other questions from any other board members? Great. Then I will go ahead and make the motion that based on the information obtained, investigative report, I move the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610A, ACR 43407A, and B1 for unprofessional conduct complaint number 21-05 involving manager Leanne Ray, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: voluntary surrender of certificate.
Second.
Charles and Member Archer. Roll call.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. That concludes that case. Next up, we have item number 18 involving manager Russ Razin, case number 21-09. Razin, step forward, please. And Phil, if you could outline the case for us.
I'm the owner.
This is complaint 21-09. The licensee is Russ Razin, who is present here today with the facility owner. And on approximately September 29th, 2020, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Elite Loving Care Home located in Scottsdale. Compliance inspection identified 16 deficiencies in 9 different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Mr. Razin was notified of the complaint and did provide his written response, and in his response indicated that there was an apparent misunderstanding between himself and the DHS surveyor, and that he was unsuccessful with his informal dispute resolutions. He also stated that he believes the complaint that initiated the compliance inspection might have been from a resident at the facility. And on December 9th of 2020, DHS took enforcement action, posed a civil money penalty of $750 for two substantiated violations, and one was a repeat deficiency. And Mr. Razin is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Okay, thank you so much. All parties that are present, if you could please identify yourself for the record, please.
I'm Russ Razin, I'm the manager.
My name is Lucian Saukan, I'm the owner.
Can you spell your last name, please?
S-A-U-C-A-N.
Thank you so kindly, I appreciate it. So Mr. Razin, there were two items that brought you here. One was a fingerprint clearance card, and the other is on your contract prior to accepting a resident, you needed to do some modifications. That was a repeat deficiency. Can you explain to the board why the repeat deficiency and what you've done to correct that?
So all the new residents will have a prior 90-day assessment done on them. This particular resident, we had an inspection in the facility, and this particular resident originally didn't do the 90-day, well, I did not do the 90-day assessment. So when the second survey came, they did the same resident, they did a survey, and they wrote a second deficiency on that 90-day. So my part of my dispute was that I cannot go back in time and do a 90-day assessment on that particular resident, because that resident was already in the facility. So I cannot go back in time before they moved in. That's how I disputed the particular deficiency.
And part of your contract, in your contract, does it say that resident has required restraints, continuous medical services,
yes,
continuous nursing services?
Yes, it does.
So you've updated that portion of your contract?
Yeah, and we had that before. It just, I tried to explain it to the surveyor, and we were just not communicating correctly. I don't know why. I tried to do my effort to communicate, which just did not, I guess, communicate well.
So that, but I think we can understand how that can happen. But what about the fingerprint card?
The fingerprint card, with this particular individual, when I started, was already an employee at the facility. When I started, this individual, and continued up to today, this individual is not a caregiver. I was very particular about that this individual cannot be a caregiver. Only caregiver can be a caregiver in the facility. So this particular individual is in charge of cleaning the facility, cooking food, and sometimes go outside the facility and purchase food and deliver food to the facility. So when I explained that to the surveyor, said yes, she understands, the surveyor, but she said, well, there was a comment made that when a person cooks, somebody screams, hey, I want tomatoes on my sandwich. And the person said yes, or whatever the case may be. And then the surveyor said, well, I noticed that this individual talked back to the resident. And even though the caregiver was right there next. So that was part of, you know, what instituted this, but we are well aware that they're not allowed to talk to the residents. So
they can speak to a resident. They just, under ARS 36411, can't provide direct care.
Right, and that's what I tried to explain to the surveyor, and we just, like I said, it was just a miscommunication on multiple levels. And about 90-day assessment, to go back to it, we do the 90-day assessment. Lucian, he is the actual doctor, surgeon, so he does all the assessments before residents move in.
Do you have about the 90-day, within 90 days, do you have a form?
Yes.
So that's a separate part of your admission?
Correct.
Right, and that one just didn't get done.
The first time, yes.
That first time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were already in the facility and then retro.
And then the second.
Sort of retroactively,
yes.
You implemented it.
Yes.
So it wasn't there prior to.
Correct. So the first deficiency was, we didn't catch it. I forgot. And then the second one came and it appeared to be a second repeat deficiency, even though it was the same deficiency that we go back to fix it, you know, prior to the resident moving in, because the resident was already been there.
Okay. Any other questions from any other board member?
Yeah, I don't get the fingerprint card because she spoke and answered a resident, the cook?
It's just...
Isn't allowed to talk?
I kind of want to argue with the surveyor.
That's probably a good choice.
You know, I did not want to confront anything. I just said, okay, well, we'll deal with it slowly as we go through the process, so...
Member Herman?
No, I'm good.
Any other board member have anything?
Do you have a disaster plan now?
Yes.
Sometimes we see things different than DHS. We're all administrators and managers up here. We understand. So I will make a motion that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation, dismiss complaint number 21-09 against manager Russ Rosine.
Second.
Councilmember Archer, roll call.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Villafranco?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Perfect. That concludes this case. Thank you for being here today. The time is 10:02 a.m. The board is going to take a 15-minute recess.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. The board is back in session. If we can do a roll call, please.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Villafranco?
Here.
Member Lewis?
Here.
Member Randolph? Okay, Member Randolph is off the line as of 10:17. Member Siemens?
Here.
Member Archer?
Here.
And Member Ehrman?
Here.
Perfect. Board has quorum. We will move forward to the next case up. Item number 19, case number 21-11, involving manager Benavidez
Moreno.
Moreno. Perfect. Phil, if you could outline the case for us, please.
Sure. This is complaint 21-11. The licensee is Benavidez Moreno, who's present here today. On March 31st, 2020 and April 17th, 2020, DHS conducted two assisted living facility complaint investigations at St. Joseph Assisted Living located in Phoenix. Complaint investigations identified two deficiencies in two different areas. And Mr. Torino was noticed of the complaint and he did provide a response, and in his response stated that he was unaware of the deficiencies and that the owner, Mr. Sheila Phillips, would have more information concerning those deficiencies. Now, on December 7, 2020, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $250 for one substantiated violation, and the amount of $250 had been reduced for $500 through a settlement agreement that the facility had with DHS. And Mr. Train was here today to try to shed some light on these deficiencies.
I also, thank you, Phil, I also noted that there was an off-site investigation conducted March 31st and April 17th, where three of nine allegations were substantiated, which was included in our documents. Okay.
Okay.
For me, it is... Page 12 of 31. Site St. Joe's Assisted Living.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Benavidez, talk to the board, please, sir, about how big the facility is.
It's a license for five.
How many were present at the time of the survey?
We have four residents at that time.
Were you present for the survey?
No, sir.
Is there a reason why you were not present?
I only go there usually at night. I only work there about 8 hours a week.
8 hours a week? What time do you normally go?
After my, I also have another facility. I stay there during the day. And usually I go to the St. Joseph facility between 7 and 8 at night.
Okay, for how long?
Sometimes one, sometimes at least 2 hours a day.
At least 2 hours a day? Okay. And so, were you apprised of the survey?
Yes, sir, later on, sir.
Were you apprised the day of the survey?
Yes. No, sir.
Were you apprised the day after the survey?
I think after a week after the survey.
After a week of the survey. Who do you have as your manager designee?
Yes, sir, the owner.
The owner. Who is the owner of the facility for the
Sheila Phillips.
And is she a nurse or a caregiver?
A caregiver, sir.
She's a caregiver. Okay. So, is Ms. Phillips present today?
No, sir.
No? You noticed that? So talk to us about the one big one for me was regarding not allowing yourself or any representative to have access to a financial interaction with a resident.
Actually, before I became a manager for that facility, I became a manager for that facility in February of 2020, and she had an arrangement with a resident in December of 2019, so I wasn't aware of that arrangement with it.
What was that arrangement?
The direct deposit, the Social Security pension of the residents, they have a joint account.
The owner and the resident have a joint account?
Yes, sir. Okay. But it came to me later on when I got this letter from you, so.
Okay. So did you notify Adult Protective Services once you became apprised of this?
No, sir, because when I came to know about that, it was settled already, and they stopped doing that altogether.
I get that. Rather they stopped it or not, did you notify Adult Protective Services?
No, sir.
Is there a reason why you didn't?
I'm not, I don't know, I just gave my mind, sir, but I apologize.
So you're going to notify Adult Protective Services?
Yes, sir. Do I still have, even though it has been resolved already?
Yes.
Are you a mandated reporter?
I can do it after that, when I go, you know.
I would also ask that board staff notify Adult Protective Services as well. Just to follow up, please.
Did DHS notify APS?
We wouldn't know.
Okay.
Okay. And you said that you started what day?
On February 2020, sir.
February 2020. So you would agree that this annual inspection would be under your license?
Yes,
or
sir.
Certification? Okay. Any other questions from the board?
I guess I need to ask you, are you aware of the potential for financial exploitation of a resident when one of your staff members is sharing a bank account?
Actually, I cannot say it's exploitation, sir, because the pension that the resident is getting from the Social Security is way below what she's supposed to pay the facility. It just so happened that the lady was helpless in going to the bank and getting her pension. That's what I get from the owner. That's what she told me.
So let me ask this question. If a resident were to give you a penny or $1 million, does it make a difference?
It's just the same, sir. So, but
right. So this question was about exploitation of a resident. So it doesn't really matter about the dollar amount.
Yeah, personally, in my own care home, I don't accept any money from my residents, sir. But she's a grown adult, so I can.
Under your certification as the manager?
Yeah, that's my hope.
And so I just want to go back to the question, do you understand the risk to a resident for exploitation?
Yes.
Thanks.
Any other questions from any other board member? For this case, I mean, it's unfortunate, but it was there for a year. It's happened. It's still not been reported from that manager. I would think some ethics would be in question. And I might even throw in a resident right just to protect the resident.
For sure.
Did you have anything else, Member Stevens?
I just didn't know if you were going to go for the whole class or not, but whatever you guys want to do, I just think those two for sure.
I'm good with those two.
Okay. All right, well, based on the information contained in investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of the violation ARS 36446.07B3 and ARS 44610. AACR 433-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 21-11 involving manager Benavidez Torino, and that the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter before the formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, the stay of the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $444, 3 hours of continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion in each of the following areas, 3 hours of ethics, and 3 hours of resident rights. Any cost of the probation or those of the certificate holder?
Second.
Myself and Member Herman. Roll call.
President Campbell.
Aye.
Vice President Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Ehrman.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you for being here today. Next up is item number 20, complaint case number 21-10 involving manager Don Grant. Step forward, please. Morning, thank you for being here.
Complaint 21-10, glad to see this Don Grant, who's present here today. On October 16, 2020, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Savannah House Assisted Living and Memory Care located in Gilbert. Compliance inspection identified 3 deficiencies in the area of service plans. Ms. Grant was notified of the complaint. She did provide a written response. Now, on approximately December 4th, 2020, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for one substantiated violation. And Ms. Grant is here today to discuss the compliance inspection.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here today, Ms. Grant. Ms. Grant, can you tell us the size of this facility?
Yes. We have 87 personal care beds and 48 memory care.
And can you give us your management structure?
There's myself, and then I have a director of health services, and then we had a director of memory care as well.
Okay. So can you explain what happened? Did the nurse not do a care plan? I mean, I know the care plan falls on everybody. It's not just the nurse's responsibility, but kind of walk us through how that got missed the 14-day from the resident's acceptance.
It just got oversighted. So we had a software program called Eldermark, and it really wasn't meeting our needs, and we were in the middle of transitioning to a new service plan software, and it just completely got missed with that, and also with COVID implementing all the policies and protocols with that. We were just kind of overwhelmed with all the responsibility at the time. And we were, quite frankly, behind to start with when the new management team started as well. So we were just playing catch up with a lot of service plans.
And so what systems do you have in place moving forward to ensure that this doesn't happen again? Say you don't like this new system that you have. What's your backup plan?
So what was nice with this new software was basically a shell, so we were able to participate in creating the software itself, so we made sure that there was compliance that met state and regulatory for Arizona. And it has a, like a tickler in there to let us know when the risk funds are due. So it'll give us the 14-day prompt, the 30-day, and the 6 months for personal care, and plus the 90-day for memory care. So we have that electronic compliance prompt.
Any other questions from any other board members?
Can we assume that the resident didn't go without care?
Oh, no, right. Yeah, she was right across from the nurse's station, so she got a lot of care. But, you know.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of violation of the dismissed complaint number 21-10 against Don Graham.
Second.
Roll call.
President Villafranca?
Yes.
I'm sorry, President Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Perfect. Motion carries. Thank you for being recalled.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, item number 21, case number 21-08, Florencio Lelo. Thank you for being here, sir. Bill, if you can outline this case, then you have a moment.
Case complaint 21-08. The licensee is Florencio Lelo, who's present here today. On October 9th, 2020, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Sunshine Circle Assisted Living Enclave LLC located in Phoenix. The compliance inspection identified 5 deficiencies in the area of personnel, and one of those deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Mr. Lelo was notified of the complaint and did provide a written response and stated that there were some issues with the facility owner. And on approximately December 2nd, 2020, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 for 3 substantiated violations, and one was a repeat deficiency. And Mr. Lelo is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Thank you so kindly. When I was reading this case, I was confused because you mentioned that the owner, Ms. Erickson,
Julia Erickson, sir.
Okay. Julia Erickson had hired an administrator in 2020 in preparation of her trip to the Philippines.
Yes.
And that she was not introducing the new administrator. You weren't introduced to the new administrator?
Yeah. Actually, I didn't know her because she used to be my partner before when I was having a business at Mason. The name of the facility is Lending and Assisted Living. And I had a bad situation with her, like, because I was, if it's okay for me to continue or to give some story to behind this.
So can you move the mic closer so that we can hear you better?
Yeah, we used to work together before at Lending and Assisted Living from 2013 to 2016. And then in 2016, we had an issue. Then she left the business and it just left me alone by myself with no, nothing at all. Like, I had to start from scratch. And then, so I just tried to survive. And then when I met this Julia Erickson, because I'm planning to leave the place, I mean the business, so I'm trying to sell the business. Unfortunately, I got a termination contract from my landlord. This is still.
So do you own this care home?
No, sir. Just trying to give you a story how I met this Julia Erickson.
Oh, I don't think we're concerned about how you met her. I'm trying to figure out who was in charge of this care facility. Because you mentioned that she hired an administrator. So what was your role at this facility?
I am the facility manager, and at that time I was told, mid of last year, she told me that she's planning to sell the business, and because she wanted to go back to the Philippines for her medication treatment. So she hired this champion in Vega. I don't know when, because she didn't tell me. And then I only find out when she hired another person in the name of Alma Pagay as the administrator. And she's the one who told me that she was also attacked by the house from Julia.
Okay, so my question is, you now have an administrator and a manager. Who's in charge of the care of the resident and making sure that the business is running how it's supposed to be?
I was.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to figure out. How big of a home is this?
It's a license for 10. Yes.
License for 10? Do you manage any other facility?
No, sir.
Okay. And were you present for the survey?
Unfortunately, no, because I was at working at Lead Generations. I'm doing med, I'm passing meds at the time. So when she called me, I told her that I really can't come because I'm doing meds.
Okay. And so how much time do you spend in this care home?
I usually come like every Saturday to relieve the caregivers, and then there will be time that I have to do some assessment or some incident issues to follow up.
Okay, so my understanding, if I've got this right in my head, is you're the manager, you've got an administrator, I guess that's over you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you come every Saturday to relieve the care staff. I'm assuming, are you working on the floor?
Yes, sir.
So you're actually working hands-on with the residents?
Yeah, they will take time, like five hours, and then they will come back.
Okay. And then, so they're live-ins?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What else do you do as the role of the manager, other than relieve the care staff and do a quick assessment?
I still do some check on the medications and the paperwork. Of course, the quarterly check of the service plans, which are needed for directed care. And communication with the families, follow up with the doctors.
Okay. So who does the hiring there?
It's the owner.
The owner does.
Yes. These are all repeat deficiencies. When did you start being the manager for this care home?
I started working with way back October 17, when it was still salary assisted living. And I told the owner many times that she should let me know first and let me do my interviews and, you know, checking on the requirements. But the owner sometimes will do it without my knowledge.
Okay. Now, you previously had testified that you come in every Saturday. So if the owner hires someone, and you notice a new person on the schedule, that would be a pretty good time that you could reach out, right? And maybe ask or look at the personnel file and ask if they have a fingerprint card, the CPR, the first aid.
No, sir, because last December 1st, I was tested positive when I got into the generations, because I'm supposed to some residents there.
Okay. I get that, and I'm so sorry that that happened, but it happened the previous survey as well. So what was the excuse back then?
I'm referring to the newly hires. That was not brought to my attention.
I'm saying, these are repeat surveys, so it would have happened 2 years in a row. So I get that you got COVID, but the year prior to that, right, but the year prior to you getting COVID, there was an issue with a personnel record.
Yeah, yes, sir. So, if you don't know how to get the project.
Right.
Yeah. That time she hired one attorney from other state, and I told her that she can work here by herself alone to do like direct care for the residents. Mm-hmm. But that time it was just me, based on the schedule. It was just me, her husband, Eric, is also a certified caregiver on the schedule.
Okay.
So we just accommodate that person. I told her that we can just let her do the laundry, clean the house. Not really to do with that.
But she didn't just do that, and she got cited.
Yes, sir, because the time when surveyor Ms. Amber Lee came, she was there and she saw her like doing the care to the resident. So I was poking her down.
So you're leading me right into my next question that we're always so interested to know. We get a lot of times that care homes have an owner who likes to rule and make decisions that could impact your license or your certification.
Yes, sir.
So what would you do with this situation? If you had an owner who is continually making decisions that are going to impact your certification, it goes for anybody that's listening, what would you do if that owner is making decisions that will impact your certification?
I will report that right away to the DSS.
Would you continue to work there?
Not anymore, sir.
Are you still working here?
No. After this incident happened, I told her I can no longer continue.
When should you have done that?
I think I should have done that a long time ago. Because to be honest, I'm not getting paid.
It's not
I know, but I'm just telling you, I'm just trying to help her.
You're trying to be helpful, and she threw you under the bus.
And is she present here today?
No, sir.
No.
So that she's not here to defend you or defend her actions.
I just knew myself.
So, again, just like...
That's why when I got the letter, I've been attending this kind of session before. And then when I got this letter, I'm really scared because I know how it feels like to be in this spot. Mm-hmm. But because I have to clear myself and, I have to face...
And you've been sitting here all day this morning. We started around 9:16, 9:15. It's 10:42 a.m. And you notice that all of the complaint cases that we've looked at today, only one owner came in, including facilities that have corporate ownership. They don't even show up. It's not their license. It's not their certification. You are just a number. They do not care. So as administrators and managers, we have to ensure that we're complying with DHS standards and our board standards to ensure the health and safety of the residents that are under our certification or licensure.
I think I understand the plight that happens to all of us, perhaps, especially at the care home level. If we leave to protect ourselves, then who's going to be there to protect the residents? And I really understand and get that. And I understand and respect the empathy and the service that you were trying to perform for somebody, especially if you weren't getting paid. But ultimately, you can't continue to do your job protecting a resident if you no longer have a certification. So that part comes first. You have to protect yourself, and therefore, by doing that, you protect the next group of people. And it's a hard line to draw for.
Many times I talked to her that way, but I think she has a lot of issues with some employees that left there, because many times that they don't get paid, and sometimes she's going to make like an issue like stealing.
Owners and managers understand one item, and so do corporations, money. If you leave, because you have to leave, you can notify DHS that you had to leave for whatever rhyme or reason to protect yourself and the residents. You split. Notify DHS, they'll come in and take over. I think he's learned his lesson. I don't really see, he's no longer there.
This is not uncommon that we see this type of situation, and even worse.
Thank you, sir. That's why I've been.
So next time, are you hanging your license right now, your certification now?
Yes.
And so do you have a cooperating owner? Or is it your, are you the owner?
No, no, I don't have, just for now, I don't have anything.
You don't, you're not hanging it anywhere. So if you hang it again, are you gonna allow this to happen?
No.
What will you do?
I will just refuse it. I have to check first, the owner about his past history.
Where are you gonna find that out? Here?
Some medical monitors, maybe within the community.
Okay. Where else can you look for information about that previous, about that location?
Here.
Well, that's, we're for managers. Where else are you gonna find information from DHS? Okay, so you'll do that?
Yes, ma'am, okay.
And be sure to notify this board that you're not going to be a manager of that facility anymore.
Yes. Well, I will do it now, I will send an email.
Be sure you've notified us as well.
Yes, I will make a CC.
There's actual form you have to complete, by the way. But I think you've learned your lesson on this, and I'll move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 21-08 against manager Lauren C.O. Layla?
Yes, sir.
Second. Okay, myself and Member Ingram, if you could give us a roll call, please.
President Campbell.
Aye.
Vice President Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Ehrman.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries. Have a good day.
You too, thanks.
Next up, item number 22, board review and consideration action on whether to open a complaint involving Administrator Gary Colts with Pueblo Norte Senior Living. I will move to not open.
Second.
Roll call.
It was moved by President Villafranca, Vice President Villafranca, and seconded by, who seconded?
President Campbell.
President Campbell, okay.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I just had a quick question. You wanted to forward it over to DHS?
No.
No.
We're saying not to open.
Okay. For anybody, okay.
Do we need to explain why, or because this is someone from out of state?
Yeah.
Who has?
Oh, you can go on record if you so desire.
Will you?
So President Campbell is indicating the reason is to not open. This seems like this was a complaint issue that came from someone who lives out of state. It had to deal with visitation. They were under COVID lockdown. She didn't understand COVID lockdown. Decided that they were supposed to allow her to visit. Yada, yada, yada. We all understand what we're dealing with in the state. No, sorry. So we're making a motion not to open.
Okay.
So I have to explain to her.
What?
I need to explain to her.
Yeah, that's why I guess.
Yeah, it's under the DHS COVID-19 rules on congregate setting. Along with the ones from county, because those two conflict. And then give her CMS rule, because it conflicts with all of them.
And then each facility writes their own policy and procedures around all of this. So whatever policy and procedure was that person.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd send her all of that and tell her to get back.
That was her problem. She got different information from
Yeah.
Right.
And okay. Changes the policy at least weekly.
Yeah. Hourly sometimes.
Okay. Yes.
Roll call?
Like she knows it.
Yeah. President Campbell.
Aye.
Vice President Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Ehrman.
Aye.
Perfect. That motion carries unanimously. Next up is item number 7, consent agreement to approve temporary administrator license, permanent administrator license, temporary manager certification, permanent manager certification, pending passing all required examinations within the substantive time frame, or the license or certification will be denied. I move to approve all.
Second.
Myself and Member Archer, roll call, please.
President Campbell.
Aye.
Vice President Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Ehrman.
Aye.
Perfect. Motion carries unanimously. Next up is board review consideration action on applicant's temporary and our permanent administrator license or manager certification. If approved, pending passing all required examinations within the substance timeframe, the license or certification will be denied. We'll move to B24, Tamika Duguay.
Doggett?
Yeah. Thank you. Are you prepared?
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
This is Ms. Tamika Doggett. On November 11th of 2020, she applied to become a permanent assisted living facility manager. Her application became administratively complete on January 19th of 2021. She answered truthfully to the question if she'd ever been charged with a criminal offense and if she'd ever had her record expunged. She indicated that in 2000, she took some merchandise from dealers in Ohio and she was charged with petty theft, which is a misdemeanor. She was ordered a 6-month probation, had to pay fines and restitution. This record was expunged in 2006. She has a current fingerprint clearance card and she passed the March manager's exam.
Perfect, thank you so kindly. Any other issues with law enforcement or any other agency?
No, sir.
What will you do if granted a certification by this board today?
So my plan, I would like to open a group home for seniors for 20 years in healthcare as a physical therapist assistant. I want to use my skills elsewhere and particularly with the senior population.
And you've heard all of the items that have been brought up today?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And you still want to do it?
I do.
All right. Any other questions from any of the board member? I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Myself and Member Archer, roll call please.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
And Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Perfect. Motion carries. Good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Good luck.
Next up, item number 28, permanent and temporary manager certification for Annette Medina.
This is Annette Medina. On December 4th, 2020, she applied for a permanent and a temporary assisted living facility manager. Her application became administratively complete on February 10th of 2021. Ms. Medina previously held a manager certificate, ALM0, I think there was a typo in there. I'll continue. From the 2011 to June 30th of 2019, Ms. Medina owned an assisted living facility in Tucson, Aguilera Assisted Living Home. This facility has not had a certified manager since Ms. Medina's manager certificate expired in June 30th of 2019. She indicated that she had a Department of Health Services survey at her facility in January of 2020, and that's when she realized that her manager certificate had expired. This facility had a survey on January 15th of 2021 and was cited for not having a certified manager. She informed the surveyor that she had not had a manager since June 30th of 2019 and she'd been unable to find another manager due to concerns with communicable diseases. Ms. Medina has a current fingerprint clearance card and she passed the March 2021 manager's exam.
Perfect. So you didn't know that your certification had expired?
I did not know that. So in 2019, my RN license was also needing to be renewed, which is done every 5 years. I had a situation in the beginning of 2019 that changed a lot of things, and I started feeling a little bit overwhelmed. So I asked one of my family members to assist with some of the, to facilitate some of the paperwork that needed to be done. One of those was my RN license renewal. One of them was a certified manager's renewal. It was my mistake. I should have just done it myself. When I asked, he said that he had done it. I didn't look on the board. I just asked him when it comes in, please just replace it on the board that we have in our facility. I didn't go and check. Until the surveyor came in, I realized that it hadn't been done. When I spoke to the person who helped me, he said apparently there was a miscommunication. When I said license and certificate, he kind of thought those were interchangeable. So it was never kind of, he thought, once he did the license part, he never thought
that what I would say, it was a certificate done and it was different. So so then as soon as I found that out, I went into a manager's class. I finished that in February. I was told in the class that the process can be a little longer than what it was back in 2011 when I first applied. So I started trying to find a manager to hang their license temporarily. Around that same time, I started hearing about this thing going on in China, and I knew we get all our products from China. So I started focusing on stocking up our gloves, our cotton supplies, our masks, our gowns, just in case. That kind of took my focus. The person that was possibly going to be hired, her demand on the salary she wanted was a little bit difficult because we were already down to 8 residents at that time with 1 actively passing. So I had to take that into consideration. We ended up locking down on March 11th. I froze all hiring. One of our caregivers wasn't in compliance with CDC guidelines. She wasn't able to stay with us. I started working 3 to 4 nights a week. And it just kept going from there.
That's sick. We certainly understand. You've got your nursing license back.
Oh yes, I.
You got, and now you're wanting your manager's license or certification back. So, are you planning to be the manager of this facility?
Yes.
And how much time do you plan to spend in the facility?
Right now, I spend around 80 hours a week or more. So, once this clears up, then back down to about 25-30.
Any other questions for any other board member? I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Charles, and who wants it?
Me.
President Campbell. Roll call, please.
President Campbell.
Aye.
Vice President Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Ehrman.
Aye.
Perfect. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thank you for your time.
Next up is item number 28A. Involving permanent manager certification for Kelly Rock. Did I say that right?
You did. I was impressed. Very good.
Finally. Put that in the record. I said one right. Okay, Ms. Mallon.
You got Smith right once, too.
Joe Brown throw me.
Like Rock on the ground.
This is Ms. Kelly Rock. On January 22nd of 2021, she applied to become a permanent assisted living facility manager. Her application became administratively complete on March 2nd of 2021. She answered truthfully to the question if she'd ever been charged with a criminal offense, if she'd ever been pardoned, if she'd ever been denied a fingerprint clearance card, if she had received her fingerprint clearance card as a result of the good cause exception. The following is a list of her previous charges. In October 2000, criminal trespass. She explained she broke into her mother's home to acquire her belongings. She was placed on probation. In May of 2002, criminal damage to property, domestic violence, and misdemeanor. She explained that she broke into her mother's house while she was under the influence. She was ordered to probation and domestic violence counseling. In December of 2002, possession of drug paraphernalia. In June of 2003, prostitution, June 2003, possession of drug paraphernalia, June of 2003, possession of drug paraphernalia, June of 2003, trespass at a hotel, October of 2003, possession of drug paraphernalia, December of 2003, prostitution and possession of drug paraphernalia. She explained that she accepted an offer from a person who was an undercover police officer. In March of 2004, use or sale of marijuana, dangerous drug, narcotics, drug, felony. She explained that she sold some narcotics and was arrested. In August of 2005, theft. She explained that she stole $2,000 from a friend to purchase drugs. She has a current fingerprint clearance card and she passed the March manager's exam.
Question, you said 2,000, but here I've got 200. Is it 2,000 or 200?
2,000.
2,000, okay. All right, sounds like a lot.
Yes, sir, it was a lot.
But our past doesn't always predict who we are in our future. So tell me, and the board, please, because you know, I'm sure you understand, we all have a lot of trepidation when we hear all of this, because you're going to be dealing with financials for residents, you're going to be dealing with the federal government on filling out certain Medicaid forms, or Medicare forms, depending on where you are. What can you say to assure this board that you have been rehabilitated and you are a different, changed person today?
And thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I did make a lot of mistakes in my very young years, but those mistakes have defined who I want to be today. You'll notice that my last offense was in 2005, at which point I went and obtained my bachelor's degree from the University of Phoenix. I then went on to get my master's degree from the University of Arizona. I've held prestigious positions, right? Go Wildcats. I've held prestigious positions across the community. I worked in an assisted living memory care once I was able to get my fingerprint clearance card, which allowed me to have a passion for working with older adults, specifically people who are living with dementia. I went and worked at the Alzheimer's Association for about 4.5 years as the regional director in Southern Arizona. And I wanted to go and define the way that healthcare, or change the way that healthcare was delivered in a hospital system, and worked at the Carondelet Health Network as the chief strategy officer for 4 years. Once realizing in a for-profit hospital system, you really can't change people's lives very much, I decided to go back and work in assisted living and memory care where I currently work today. Just also want to note that not only have I changed my career path, but also personal choices. I'm currently a kinship placement for my two grandchildren who are currently in DCS custody. I am looking to adopt them. I have my own children, and I volunteer tremendously throughout the community to help people, specifically with Pima Council on Aging, the Alzheimer's Association, and the University Center on Aging.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Any other questions?
How long have you had your fingerprint card?
I just renewed it, so 7 years.
So what do you plan to do with your license now?
So I currently work at a Watermark retirement community in Tucson, Arizona, Hacienda the Canyon. A beautiful community that one of the my references or my Terry Waldman helped to open. Terry's very well known in the Tucson community. So I'll be taking over as the manager there. Additionally, I was maybe not relevant here, but I know you were reviewing a case earlier for a manager, Leanne Ray, at Hacienda at the River. I've actually been overseeing that community as well and have already corrected and made sure that we are in compliance with our licensure requirements and regulations.
I'm assuming you're overseeing it in a different capacity.
Correct.
Okay.
So what is your current position?
I'm Executive Director of Member Health Services is my title.
Thank you. And so that's a Watermark. Is it Jenny Ryan is your VP or?
Rich Howell is my managing director.
All right. Well, it certainly sounds like you learned a lesson and you've turned your life around for the good. I will make a motion to approve.
Second.
Can we get a roll call?
President Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Perfect. Thank you.
No, thank you.
You should write a book.
I really should.
Okay.
And you should explain your time management because I don't know how you do all of that.
Item number 8 on the agenda, assisted living facility training programs. Consent agenda to approve assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs and renewal of assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs. Item number 8A29, I make a motion to approve all.
Second.
Roll call.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Yeah, aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Ehrman?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is new business. Item number 9A. There is none. Item number 10, administrative matters, financial reports.
None.
There are no financial reports. We did not get the information from Central Services Bureau.
And that is not an excuse, because neither is anybody else.
Yeah, the
it's broke.
Yeah. The month ending closes on the 5th, which is Friday, and they don't normally send out the reports until after that.
It's still broken.
All right, when's that report?
Took care of only 8 cases today, but we're up to speed. I've got 8 more for next month, and go from there. 3 consent agreements today, and everybody's, I don't think we may have one formal hearing pending, maybe. I don't know, but I think we're pretty much caught up on that.
With the state now starting to reopen, do we see that we're going to start having, we'll see more complaint cases to resolve versus?
No, we're getting the same number of cases every month from them, basically.
But I'm saying we would have more on our docket monthly or no?
No.
No?
No, since we started going this way, we probably cut them almost in half. We were opening just about everything that you guys are dismissing. So we've got the cases that really need to be opened.
Thank you. Licensing report?
For our managers, we have active 2,377, with 19 of those being inactive and 17 holding temporaries. For our administrators, we have 319 currently. None of those are holding a temporary, and 20 of those are inactive.
Okay, thank you. Next up is legislative update, Senate Bill 1282.
Senate Bill 1282 has passed the Senate and is in the House. And I don't believe that it's agendized for the Health and Human Services Committee that's scheduled for today on Monday, 3/8. But we will continue to monitor it and bring you up to speed when we know something more.
Is it to be held today?
No.
No.
It's not agendized.
Oh, that's even better. Thank you.
Rules update?
For the rules update, I believe that the rules are going into effect April 2nd. Is that correct? And we will let you know when that happens.
And training program report?
You have the training program schedule in front of you, or the report, and that was updated in terms of the reports, the training schools that we have. And if you have any questions on that, we'd be glad to answer them.
So are we getting more, are we having more people sign up with the training program under this new, and is that going away shortly with the new reopening?
Actually, it's not. The executive order will probably go away, and those OJT training programs that are currently in effect will have to reapply under the new board's rule standards.
Okay.
If they wish to.
Okay.
As far as the number, right now I think there's 39 OJT programs under the executive order, and about 50, I think there's 50 caregiver training programs, and combined, this last year, there were 2,384 caregivers that took the exam for the first time with an 80% pass rate. That's a combination of both the OJT and the current.
Do you see that they're about the same?
I remember the stats on it. OJT was running lower as far as first-time pass rate than the normal programs, but I haven't run it this last month.
Have the pass rates changed since the testing changed?
They really haven't. They've been consistently at 80%.
All right. Thank you so much. That brings us to the board critique.
I would like to critique, please. Thank you so much for presiding for me. My allergies are driving me crazy, and I apologize for coughing up here. Alan, is this your last meeting, really?
It is, yes.
Well, on behalf of the board and all of the staff, we want to thank you for all you have done for us over the years, and you have certainly helped us become as streamlined as we are. And we appreciate your dedication to the state of Arizona and to the board and to these members. Every one of us wish you well and will miss you. We're delighted Sabrina is on board with us, and I'm sure she'll keep us in the right path. But we do thank you, Alan, for all that you've done.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. any board member on the phone wish to add to my remarks to Alan?
Well, I said we're going to miss him terribly.
Yes, we are.
So thanks for everything you've done, and we'll miss talking to you and seeing you, but I have your cell phone, so be careful.
Thanks, Melanie.
I can still communicate.
Just don't say it on the record.
I'm so excited, a big hug. And I'm jealous you get to retire.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is item number 11, future agenda items and meeting dates. The next regular board meeting will be held Monday, April the 12th, 2021, at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona, at 9 p.m. It is 11:11, and the board is now adjourned.
Thank you for attending.